Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender bone-in pork back ribs for $3.49 a pound with your card. Then get 16-ounce packages of juicy strawberries for $1.99 with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I'm excited to see Michigan and Oregon going back to Ann Arbor. I think I've covered three games there. Was last there with Oregon State, Gary Anderson and Oregon State, and then Oregon played there in 2007 as, you know, Oregon went in there with Statue of Liberty with Dennis Dixon, and Statue of Liberty twice, as I recall, with Dennis Dixon, and won the game. I'm also excited to see Austin Meek of The Athletic, who is formerly of the Eugene Register Guard. He covers Michigan. He's joining us now. He's going to set the scene for us. Where are you right now? Set the scene in Ann Arbor.
You know, I am in my neighborhood in Ann Arbor, which was the site of a Kamala Harris and Tim Walz rally last night. They actually had the rally at my kid's school. So the neighborhood was just like overrun with people. There were like 20,000 people in the neighborhood. I think pretty much all that's cleared out now. So those are the two things that draw big crowds in Ann Arbor: political rallies and football games.
Give us an idea, because you got a battleground state there, with an election looming, a college football playoff ranking release looming, and a football game on Saturday. Give us an idea of like how that has felt to kind of be amid all of the political stuff that's going on.
Well, what it means is anytime you watch a football game on TV, you literally see about 25 political ads. Like, I've seen them so many times, I can like probably quote them by memory, not that I want to.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan really is like the ultimate battleground state in politics, in football, in a lot of things. It's an interesting place to be, especially this time of year, although I will not be sad after November 5th. I don't have to see those ads anymore. I'm kind of tired of them.
I was in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Day, and, you know, the vice president was speaking down the street. I don't know if you remember that. And there was a lot of Secret Service out around downtown Indianapolis. I was walking towards the arena, and they were eyeballing me because I had a backpack on, and I'm walking in front of the place, and I'm just kind of watched me walk by. What was that like to have kind of that visit and that buzz in your neighborhood?
It was pretty wild, honestly. We did not know about it until like two or three days before. We got an email from the school that said there's going to be an event at the school, like at the park by the school. And the kids are out of school early. Like, they didn't say any information about what it was going to be, but they're like, there's going to be a fence up around the park. And, you know, it was pretty easy to figure out what was happening. And then you could see like the big backdrop going up and the stage and the lights and stuff. I just went by. The line to get in was literally like six blocks long. Apparently they like hit capacity and they wouldn't let any more people in. And it's like a, you know, it's just like a residential neighborhood. It's not like, you know, anything special. That was pretty wild to have that happen in like basically in our backyard last night.
Austin Meek of The Athletic with us. Okay. Michigan's season has not been like last year's Michigan season. Can you maybe take us through kind of what is different about Michigan football this year, or what is the same?
Pretty much everything is different. Certainly the vibe is different. Certainly the results are different. The interest around the program is different. My job's a lot different. I had something to write about literally every day of last season. This year, it's not the same. You know, basically the only thing that's the same is Sherrone Moore and the coaches on the staff who stayed after Jim Harbaugh left. But they're all in different jobs. So even that, there just hasn't been a lot of continuity, which is weird because Sherrone Moore was the continuity hire, right? Like, the reason you promote the offensive coordinator when the head coach leaves after a national championship is because you want to try to keep the band together. But the band broke up. This is a totally new era for Michigan. It really feels completely different, and it's hit home every week of the season watching this team play, where it's like, this is not the same Michigan team. It's not the same Michigan program.
What happened last week with, you know, you've got Michigan State. It's obviously a lot of emotions, but it always seems now in the last few years where there's been some extracurricular activities. What's the latest on all that?
The Big Ten put out a statement today, said they looked into it. They reviewed the video footage. They weren't going to take any further action. They said it was inconclusive. You know, the backstory to that, obviously, that everybody around here still remembers and talks about is the incident in the Michigan Stadium tunnel 2 years ago after the Michigan State game. It actually resulted in criminal charges for seven players from Michigan State, a pretty unprecedented situation. And so ever since then, there's just been a lot of tension around this rivalry. It just sort of felt like, felt like the fuse was just waiting to blow. And then that game on Saturday, you know, it was pretty tame in comparison to what happened 2 years ago. It was just some pushing, some shoving. There's a video of one Michigan player where it kind of looked like maybe he was kicking or stomping, but you couldn't really see what was going on under the pile. So Michigan State was asking the Big Ten to look into it. I'm sure in light of what happened 2 years ago when the Big Ten punished Michigan State pretty harshly for what happened in the tunnel. But there wasn't that much there. And so ultimately the Big Ten just ended up saying, inconclusive. We'll see if Michigan has any suspensions or any discipline. If there could be, you know, could be a guy or two from Michigan who maybe doesn't start the game or something like that, if Michigan determines that that's warranted. But no serious punishments.
You understand the Oregon program. You were around it. You covered it. You know it. You lived in Eugene. This game now with Oregon coming to Michigan still has that allure to it to people here, Austin. But what does it look like to the Michigan fan with Oregon coming to Ann Arbor?
I think if Michigan was having a better season, Michigan fans would really be up for this game in the same way that it felt like they really got up for the Texas game. The Texas game in week two was, I mean, it was a really great scene. Texas fans like came out in full force. Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, was here. It was a really cool scene in week two when Texas came here. And I think at that point in the season, Michigan fans were like, you know, we think we can still play at this level. Like, you know, maybe we're not quite as good as we were last year, but we think we can hang with a top five team at home. And they found out pretty fast that was not the case, that Michigan was not ready for that game. And so ever since then, really, I think fans have been not checked out necessarily, but definitely not getting their expectations up with good reason. You know, pretty much every game there's been reason to, support the idea that this Michigan team is just not very good. So for this game, I think Michigan fans are excited because it's Oregon, excited because it's the number one team. But I also think they're pretty pessimistic about their team and Michigan's chances of hanging with Oregon.
Illinois beats Michigan 21-7, so I could see why the Michigan fans going, oh, great, the season's about to get a little dark. But help construct a case for a game Michigan might be in or win. What kind of game is that?
Well, this game against Michigan State last week was the first time all season that Michigan hasn't had at least one turnover. It was the cleanest game we've seen Michigan play this year. It had zero interceptions, zero fumbles, zero sacks, zero penalties. We just hadn't seen that level of execution from Michigan all season. And so it was a better performance for Michigan and a sign maybe that Michigan is starting to figure some things out. But they also won by seven against a pretty average Michigan State team, and it came down to the wire. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to make a great case of how Michigan is going to win this game unless Oregon just comes out and falls apart and commits five turnovers or something like that, which I don't expect that to happen. But Michigan does have some talent on defense. They've got a couple guys that could hear their names called in the first 10 picks of the NFL draft. So I think that's probably the case, is that Michigan's defense comes out and plays its best game of the year. The offense takes care of the ball. Michigan's able to run the ball the way they did against USC. They haven't been able to do that consistently, but at times they've been a good running team. That's probably the formula if Michigan's going to have any chance of pulling off an upset.
Sharon Moore, how different is he than Jim Harbaugh?
Completely. Completely different coaches, completely different personalities, to the point that it's like you wonder, like, how are these guys so close? I mean, sometimes opposites attract. You know, sometimes that's what it is. And, you know, I do think part of it is, like, Sharon Moore was a very low-ego guy, and that's what you had to be able to laugh with Jim Harbaugh. Like, coaches who had big egos who came through here on Jim Harbaugh's staff, they didn't laugh. They were gone in a year or two because they couldn't work with him. The coaches who really lasted with Jim Harbaugh were the ones who realized, like, it's not about me. I'm just going to do my job. I'm going to hang out here in the background and coach football. I'm going to let Jim Harbaugh do his thing. That's totally how Sharon Moore lasted as long as he did here. It's how he was in position to be the head coach. But it's also, like, just really jarring now that he is the head coach when you're used to, like, such a big personality in that job. And Sharon Moore is just, like, completely the opposite.
Austin Meek with us of The Athletic, covers Michigan football. The Big Ten season, like any other conference, you've got kind of nuances and a flow to the season. You know, I am kind of watching this season going, all right, what are we going to learn here about kind of the pacing of this season? As Oregon beats Ohio State early in the year, I think, gosh, will they see Ohio State late in the year? You've been in that conference for a while. Give us an idea of, you know, the conference champion. What is that team doing start to finish? You know, are they peaking late in the year? Are they playing well all year long and just dominating? What does a Big Ten champion look like?
Well, I've covered the Big Ten champion 3 years in a row here. I'm going to break the streak this year, obviously. But for Michigan, the past 3 years, they really were peaking in November. Michigan's last regular season loss prior to this year was all the way back in 2021 when they lost at Michigan State in late October. And then after that loss, they went on a run. That was their first win over Ohio State, you know, huge, like, monumental win. They go on, make the playoff, play Georgia in the Orange Bowl. The 2022 team, kind of similar. You know, they really found another gear late in the season, and then won in Columbus in a game that not a lot of people thought Michigan was going to win. People thought that might be Ohio State's payback game. You know, and then last year was a little different. I mean, last year's team played so well, really from start to finish. and last year, obviously, you had Jim Harbaugh's suspension for the final three games of the regular season, which was just, you know, a weird situation. Michigan had some injuries. But they found a way to beat Penn State. They found a way to beat Ohio State. So, like, you got to be on your stuff in November. Every team in the Big Ten, you know, at this point in the season, you figured out, okay, who are the teams that are playing for something, and they take it to another level. Who are the teams that aren't, and they kind of start to fall off, and, you know, it's been a long season, and maybe they're not quite as fired up. But the teams that are playing for something at this point in the season, like, this is when you typically see them take it to another gear.
Austin, the Jim Harbaugh era ends, and I know it ends with confetti. I was there in Houston for the national championship game, and but there were still some questions afterwards. What's the one thing that, you know, you really, if you could wave a wand and figure out, you know, what went down with what? What's the thing you'd want to know?
Oh, man, it's hard to narrow it down to one thing. I mean, I still want to know. I want to know who paid for the investigation, the private investigation into the Michigan sign-stealing operation that ended up in the hands of the NCAA. I mean, that's been the big unsolved mystery. And nobody's cracked the case yet. But somebody paid for an investigation to get the dirt on Michigan sign-stealing operation. Somehow it ended up with the NCAA. Nobody really knows how that happened. You know, you and I know how NCAA investigations work. If the NCAA had been trying to do that on their own, there's no way that they would have been in a position to to be able to punish Michigan, or for that to come out during Michigan's national championship season. I mean, it's a great story. It's a story that, you know, people are going to be talking about 25 years from now. Like, what happened during that 2023 season with Michigan? So I'd love to know that.
My mind immediately goes to, like, Ohio State. And my mind goes to, you know, what private parties would be would gain the most. What are some of the conspiracy theories on it?
Well, you're not alone in your mind going that way. A lot of minds in Ann Arbor, Michigan immediately went that way. You know, I spent a lot of time making calls and knocking on doors and trying to figure that out. Never got the answer. That's certainly one of the theories, is that somebody who had an interest in somebody other than Michigan winning the Big Ten, or had an interest in Michigan not winning a national championship, was motivated to have that story come out when it did. I don't know, man. It's weird. I don't know. A lot of conspiracy theories.
All right, so I'm going to the game Saturday, and when I applied for my credential with Michigan, they said, okay, you're approved. You've got a seat in the press box. And, oh, by the way, if you want to buy parking, here's a private parking lot. Our media lot is sold out. You can buy, you know, it's like $75 to get a parking space at the game. Yeah. I've never seen anybody do it. Michigan's been doing it for 20 years. What is it like to cover Michigan? Like, do you drive to the stadium? Are you close enough to walk in your neighborhood? How does Austin Meek get to work on Saturday?
So I actually am a bike commuter on football game days. We live probably about a mile from the stadium. So I could walk it if I wanted to. I usually bike over. It's like 15 minutes door to door. It's the best. I recommend it to everybody. Like, I've spent a lot of my life sitting in traffic at different stadiums, and it's so great to be able to just, like, you know, whip around the whole line of cars and bike up right up to the front. So that's how I get to the game.
And it's as I recall, obviously a huge stadium, big crowd. I think Oregon will be there, but doesn't sound like this isn't a great Michigan team, obviously, but I think Oregon's excited to play this game. Austin, it'll be great to see you there, and I appreciate you giving us some of your time.
All right, buddy. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
All right, there he goes, Austin Meek. He'll be riding a bicycle to Michigan Stadium on Saturday. He's smart. I had to go for the parking, you know, flying into Detroit, driving to Ann Arbor. I can't bike from Detroit to Ann Arbor. So I reached out to Michigan. I was like, hey, I'm just curious, how long have you been charging for parking? And they said, well, it's not really us. We just don't have the space. So they give you to a third party. So I'll be parking at some high school. And I hope some high school is making, obviously they're making money on it. $75 for a parking spot. All right, I want you to leave it here. Later in the show, it'll be John Mateer in the 4 o'clock hour. The Washington State quarterback will be joining us. Tell your Cougar friends to gather around. We'll talk to a kid who went to high school in Texas, played big high school Texas football, now in Pullman, where the Cougars are trying to put together an 11-1 season. Will it be good enough to get into the playoff? Probably not. But is 11-1 anything to scoff at? We'll talk about that with John Mateer, Washington State quarterback, coming up in hour two. Leave it here.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Marino's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream. Not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.